Well, I'll just do that in between.
It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. Well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and even though it's a big problem the other 11 months, this is a good time to talk about it. And my first guest and expert has been on the show before, Dr. Diana Feit of Houston, Texas. She's an attending emergency physician down at Houston Methodist Willowbrook and Christus St. Catherine's, as well as a part-time clinical professor of emergency medicine at University of Texas at Houston. So welcome, Dr. Feit. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for asking me.
Related to domestic violence, and it's a big issue for in the emergency. How common really is it? I mean, everybody thinks, oh, it's going to happen to somebody else, but you can't turn on the news and a week can't go by and somewhere in the country you hear about an issue related to domestic violence.
There's no question it's a very common problem, and probably at least 25% of mostly women, of course, have been victims of domestic violence at some time.
Right. So one in four at some time in their lifetime, right, have been victims. So what, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what it exactly is, or are there some things or clues in relationships that people can pick up on that might clue them in that this is not a healthy relationship?
Certainly in the relationship itself, things will usually start out without obvious signs of problems, except that there may be a little bit of excessive jealousy, kind of a stalking pattern, or trying to be very controlling of the victim, getting them a little more separated from any family or friends. Things sometimes just don't seem quite right when they're questioned so much about where they've been. The person's monitoring them very closely. Then, of course, you start to have sometimes psychological or physical abuse, but it will be blamed on stress or, oh, I just had something to drink or things, but it can escalate very, very quickly in some cases and slowly in other cases.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point when you say people be often the perpetrator or the batterer kind of hides behind this idea that, oh, they were drinking and things got out of control. But in fact, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? It's not an issue of loss of control. It's an issue of trying to exert control on someone. It's all about power and control.
It's all about power and control. You're absolutely right. There's several kind of spokes of the wheel, so to speak, that all fit into this power and control issue. And very often, alcohol and other drugs are involved. But the person that's their personality in the first place. They're controlling in the first place. That is just an excuse that comes up.
And so, you know, and I've had women talk to me, too, where they say, you know, because everybody has this idea that it couldn't happen to them, or there's a certain socioeconomic group that it's definitely more prevalent in. And in fact, you know, I'm on the board of a local group in Maryland, and nothing could be further from the truth. And I've seen, you know, women doctors even that had been victims of domestic violence. So lawyers, judges. So they're really, it can happen to anybody. Isn't that true?
It goes all across socioeconomic lines. And I'm like you, Dr. Vinokur. I've seen several physicians who have been domestic violence victims, and all sorts of other people. There may be more of a tendency to hide it or not, or be too embarrassed to talk to colleagues or friends or anyone about what's happening, because sometimes those people are very much aware of what has suddenly gotten into their relationship. And so that can be a problem, and that's why emergency physicians or other physicians need to kind of be on the lookout for that possibility when they're treating injuries or illnesses in the ER or in their offices.
Right. It's, in fact, I believe, according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, they say that most cases are never reported to the police. And I think the issue for us as physicians is sometimes people that have less means or lower socioeconomic, they have to use more public services for treatment, and whereas people that might have more means do kind of go to their doctors, don't use public services as much related to that, you know, so maybe it looks skewed when in fact it's not.
Good point. That's a very good point to make.
So what kind of typical, and you brought up that in the ER, and I remember before we even had this universal screening, talk a little bit about universal screening because of that. You know, when I trained too many years ago, then I care to admit, but 15, 16 years ago, they didn't really, you know, we weren't really asking everyone. And now we realize it's so common that anyone coming in with an injury, I mean, I ask anyone, did this happen to you? And did someone do this to you intentionally? So isn't that what we should be doing now as physicians and thinking about it?
Right. One good thing is there has been a major increase in awareness to this. 20, 30 years ago, we would get almost more of the response from people working in the emergency department as, well, why did you let this happen? Practically blaming the victim when it certainly is not the victim's fault at all. And now at least there's more awareness to that. The victim absolutely can't help any of this, and is sometimes put at even more danger of death if they try to get out of the situation or if they try to tell someone and seek help. So that has to be done in a careful manner as well. At least now with a little more universal questioning, whether by the triage nurse in the emergency department or by the physician or both, then at least if the victim doesn't feel they can say something at the time, then they know, though, that there is interest in them, that this is not a normal thing to happen, that maybe later on they'll be able to talk to someone about it. So any questioning, I think, is advantageous. Of course, it's better to ask these questions without any family member or potential batterer or perpetrator around.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
That's difficult to do as well, as busy as the emergency departments are these days. But at least the questions will raise the awareness to the victim that we do care about them.
Right. And I remember I was involved when I first moved to Maryland, and we started this screening program for universal screening. We did it at an urban hospital, a suburban hospital, and a rural hospital, and we had this pilot program, and we trained everybody, you know, security guards, people to notice if there were hovering people, and, you know, or if they never let the victim, you know, be alone, but we really did train them to say in a non-judgmental manner and try and get them separately, you know, did somebody do this to you, which I think is important.
Yes, indeed. And sometimes you can even ask questions in an offhand manner, such as, you know, when I saw this type of injury before in someone, it was caused by such and such, you know, a type of battering thing, and not necessarily even tell the patient it's them.
Yeah, that I think is a very good point to kind of do that. And women have to feel that it's totally not their fault, and it happens to so many women today. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.